There's that history I was telling you about, Nathan. It gets real interesting. And you read about the popes, and you find out all these wicked characters and everything. I think a lot of the popes were devil-possessed. And I believe the final pope will be the Antichrist. But that wicked, with a capital W, becomes the vessel for Satan. He's not the devil now. He's not going to be the devil even when he confirms the covenant with Israel. I believe that happens halfway through. And that's when he receives the deadly wound. Comparing scripture with scripture, this deadly wound is important to look at. Let's go to Revelation 13. And don't get hung up and don't make this your life study, but it is a good memory, good thing to lodge in your memory, that when the discussion of the Antichrist and the mark of the beast and all that, what's a really superstitious number? Friday the 13th. The number 13 has a lot of wicked connotations to it. I'm not superstitious about it, and I don't believe Friday the 13th is any more wicked than Saturday the 13th. But 13 being that kind of number, it's good to remember Revelation 13 and Antichrist, putting those two together. We went through go back and rewatch, or watch if you haven't seen it, our study on Revelation 13. But look at verse 3. And it says, "And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast." Now, we don't have time to run all the references and everything, but again, in our study, look at the reference in verse 1. It says that this beast rising up out of the sea having seven heads. You see that? And then in verse 3 it says, "And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded." And to death. So that means he died. And then in verse 12, jump down to verse 12. "And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him." This is the false prophet. Now, we have a study on this. And most prophecy teachers today will tell you that the false prophet will be like John the Baptist. He'll come before the Antichrist and pave the way. And I'm here to tell you they're flat wrong. Right here our text says that the first beast is the Antichrist, and the second beast comes and he exerciseth all the power of the first beast. After the first beast comes the second beast. If there are two beasts, there's a second beast. So which one comes first?
First one.
There you go. Now it's amazing to me, there's some guys, they don't pastor churches. They don't have any other ministry except for prophecy ministry. And yet they'll teach this nonsense that the false prophet comes first. And it's as clear as can be right there in the text. The false prophet does not come first. He comes second. He's the second beast. That's what it's called in verse 11, another beast, having two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. So this guy's probably... from that reference, we can take that he's possessed by the devil himself, speaking as a dragon. Who's the dragon in the Bible?
Satan.
So then again, verse 12, "And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast," what's it say? "Whose deadly wound was healed." If it was a deadly wound, he what?
Died.
And if you're dead, but that wound is then healed, that's a resurrection.
Yep.
And again, all kinds of guys would stand up here and pontificate about how there's no way the devil could bring about a resurrection. Jesus is the resurrection and the life, right? Jesus is the resurrection and the life, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then all we have to understand is Jesus allows Satan to resurrect the Antichrist. That's all there is to it. It's all Jesus had to allow it. But why did he allow it? He has his reasons. How many of you have found that Jesus does a lot of things that you and I really can't understand?
Amen.
I mean, us being here right now, I don't understand. You know, why aren't we going up? I don't understand. There are a lot of things that I don't understand, but I do understand anything He's told me in His Word. So you don't have to be ignorant about anything He's told us in this book. And one of the things we know is the Antichrist is going to suffer a deadly wound, which means he dies, but that wound is going to be healed, and that is a resurrection. Well, it's a satanic resurrection. Jesus, the resurrection and the life, has to have allowed it, but it's a satanic resurrection. Go back to chapter 17 in Revelation. And chapter 17, verse 8. You got to watch this closely. And here it is in verse 7 again, a reference to the seven heads. And before I go to my point, I wanted to look at something there real quick. Where is it? Oh, verse 9. We don't have to wonder about those seven heads. Verse 9 says, "And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth, and the city of Rome is known as the city on seven hills." So that tells you the head of Rome is the head that's going to be wounded to death. That's not the president of Italy. That'll be the head of the Vatican State, the one that calls himself Vicar of Christ, which means Antichrist. The one who allows people to address him right now as Holy Father, which is blasphemous because the Bible only calls one person Holy Father, and that's God the Father. He'll have names of blasphemy. He will be seated in Rome. The Bible is pretty clear when you allow it to speak. Amen?
Amen.
Verse 8, "The beast that thou sawest was," that means he was alive, "and is not," because he dies. Who else does that say that about? Jesus in Revelation 1. Keep your finger in Revelation 17 and go back to Revelation 1. And in chapter 1, verse 8. We talked about this in the last couple of studies. "I am Alpha and Omega," and that's Jesus talking, claiming to be God. "The beginning and the ending, saith the Lord." What's it say? "Which is, and which was, and which is to come." That's because he died, was buried, and rose again, and he's coming again. Well, come back here to the beast in verse 8. He was, and is not, because he's dead. And then it says, "And shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition." He's going to come out of the bottomless pit, but his final resting place is going to be the lake of fire and perdition. And he's called the son of perdition. "And they that dwell on the earth shall wander, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world." Remember that, because we're going to come back to that. The people who are going to be suckered by this false signs and wonders movement by Antichrist are those whose names are not written in the book of life.
The delusion.
Delusion, yeah. We're going to talk a lot more about that next week. But continue. It says, "When they behold the beast that was and is not," and yet it says he is, because he was killed, he died, and he rose. Now, he's the Antichrist, which means counterfeit Christ. And Satan is going to bring about a false Christ that has a false assassination, like Jesus was killed on the cross, and a false resurrection in the sense that he's going to pretend that he did it of his own power, and he'll use it to lure people into taking the mark of the beast. But Jesus, he was crucified and buried and rose again in order to set us free. That's the difference. Johnny?
It is interesting, though, even though those two passages are similar, they're also not exactly the same.
No, they're not supposed to be. He's a counterfeit.
One says, "Which was, or which is, and which was not," but what for Jesus is "which was."
Yeah, but I didn't say they were the same. I hope you didn't take that.
Yeah, but
the whole point of the Antichrist is he's so similar that he'll fool people.
He's a counterfeit.
Yeah, he's a counterfeit. I mean, if you have a $1 bill, well, let's make it worthwhile. We have a $100 bill. You got the real thing. The other one's got to be really, really close, and yet it's not going to be exactly the same. That's the whole meaning of counterfeit.
But it's good to notice the differences.
Yeah. Brian?
If you look at Revelation 1:18, though, it says, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore.
Yeah.
I think that's closer to what that was.
The clear, the difference is clear there.
Yeah.
So again, in Revelation 17, back to this, verse 11, and the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth. It says, and is of the seven, and goeth into perdition. Why? Because the original man, whoever that is, the Antichrist, he dies. So it's his body, but it's actually an eighth. See that? It's what it's right there in the text that he is the eighth, but he was also of the seventh. What do you mean? Well, it was just it was a different man in the same body as the seventh. He's dead, but when he's raised, the Bible counts him as eighth. And he will remove, of the ten horns, he'll remove three and sit at the head. So all the math works out there. It is pretty amazing. It's an amazing book, isn't it?
Amen.
The first son of perdition was possessed by Satan. Again, in a different reference, John 17:12. Jesus said, and he's praying, he says, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And he's talking about Judas there. Then in verse 27, it tells us that after the sop, you remember Jesus said, to the one who I hand this sop to, he's the one who will betray me. And it says, and after the sop, Satan entered into him. That's talking about Judas. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest, do quickly. So there's Judas, son of perdition, and the very fact Antichrist is called the son of perdition tells us that he too will become Satan incarnate. See, I believe that Judas was son of perdition only after he was possessed by the devil. Before that, he had a free will, and he will stand responsible. I'm not a partial Calvinist. A lot of guys who aren't Calvinists, but suddenly when it comes to Judas and a few other situations, they become Calvinists, and they pretend that Judas was elected to be the Antichrist, and it was against his will and all that. I've read it taught. That's nonsense. Judas had a free will and chose his path. God recognized that. And it's the same thing you see in the Pharaoh in the Exodus and other times where you'll see God knows what this guy's going to do, so he uses it for his own purpose. He'll do that with you. If you choose to turn against God, God sees that. He'll find a way to use that for his own glory. You'll still be shamed, lose reward, might even die an early death. But God will get the glory out of it. So beware. Some can't even identify the fact that there is a final Antichrist. There's all kinds of teachers and prophecy teachers out there. Brian and I were having this conversation earlier, and I warn y'all, if you just go out there watching any Tom, Dick, or Mary out there on YouTube or whatever, they could lead you into who knows what. And they do. This is a slick-looking website. I mean, they got all kinds of graphics and everything. It's real. And it uses the Bible. Uses the Bible. Every false cult uses the Bible. This is one of their memes. There is no the Antichrist in the Bible. Did you know that? Instead, there are many Antichrists. Now look at it. He looks at 1 John 2:18. I'm going to show you how easy this is. 1 John 2:18 is the reference, yeah. And it says, little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, That's talking about the Antichrist. Even now are there many Antichrists. Now it's clear what that text is saying. There are many Antichrists. That doesn't mean there's not coming one Antichrist. But a lot of people listen to teachers like that and they don't question. What's Acts 17:11 say?
These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so.
You hear that?
You put me on a spot. Good, Jenny. That's okay. We've been working on those.
It says, search the scriptures daily to see if those things are so. That should describe everybody in this room. If you're not doing that, you're not doing it right. And the Antichrist is the beast, in addition to what we just read. The Antichrist is the beast. So, and there's a first beast and a second beast. It's just insane. And he says all one has to do to be Antichrist with a capital A is what it says in 1 John 2:22 and 23. And that, well, he's got the wrong Bible. So let me look at that with the right Bible here. 1 John 2:22 and 23. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. So he's saying that based on that, anyone who denies that Jesus is the Christ is an Antichrist. That's true, an Antichrist. But it's a capital A on there. Why? Because there is the Antichrist to come. And we'll come back to you in a minute. I'm going to finish this point. This is what he says on his website. The beast, the Antichrist, he says is the global undisputed military superpower of earth.
Really?
Now the Bible says they worship the Antichrist. So according to this guy, the whole world is going to follow after and worship the global undisputed military superpower of earth. So that's what I have to do a lot of times when people are teaching this stuff is just say it out loud. You just say it out loud, you're like, that just sounds stupid. It's obviously not true. But look, he's quoting the new versions and it changes it. In Revelation 13, who is like the beast? Who can wage war against it? Now you remember back in Genesis 3, Satan changed the Bible by doing what?
One word.
Not. Thou shalt not surely die. One word changed the whole thing. He's changing the word it. Here's the difference. The King James says, who is likened to the beast? Who is able to make war with
him?
Personal pronoun, him. NIV, ESV, change it. Who can wage war against it?
Wow. That's
from a three-letter word to a two-letter word and made the Bible a lie. And that's how simple it is. So beware, the lies of Antichrist are already spreading. How many of you know the best weapon Satan has is just to make you not recognize who he is?
Amen.
Thankfully, not everyone using new versions falls for these lies, but the fact remains that the corrupt versions are a source of deception.
Yep.
I know people, we talked about earlier, we know people who go to the Roman Catholic Mass, but when you talk to them about the Bible, they believe a lot of what they do read and understand, they believe it. There are exceptions, but that proves the rule. So back to our text then, chapter 2, verse 9, says that this coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Satan's ministers can do signs and wonders. Of course, we saw that Satan's going to actually resurrect the Antichrist. That's pretty big. But Satan's ministers can, they can do signs and wonders. What happened when Moses threw down the rod in front of the Egyptian magicians?
They did the same thing.
You know the only difference, which is a pretty big difference? Moses' rod ate the other one. But they could both do signs and wonders. The one that cracked me up, was it lice? Mm-hmm. And they brought more lice to prove they could do it?
Well, I think that was the one they couldn't do.
Right.
Or was it the frogs?
I have to look, but right now. Because they repeated them, but then they got to a point they couldn't do it.
Well, could they even undo it?
Yeah, there's another thing, is not being able to undo it. Moses was able to undo the things he did. You're right. The lice is the one they could not. Chapter 8, verse 18. But they were able to do a bunch of the miracles that Moses did. And that would have been enough for most of the people that are today out there, non-Christians, that would have been enough for them to reject Moses and to stay with Pharaoh, even though they saw his rod snake eat their rod snake and that sort of thing. That's how people are. Look at the very important passage. We're getting ready to wrap it up, but I want to go here. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Second Corinthians 11, verses 13 through 15. Paul is talking about guys who are running around claiming to be apostles. And from testimony we have, they actually did at least fool people into thinking they could do signs and wonders. Verse 13, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. What kind of world are we living in now, the church that exists today? I get criticized for exposing false apostles. In Revelation chapter 2 and 3, they're commended for trying those who claim they're apostles and showing that they're not real apostles. But today you get called a hater, sowing discord and division. That's what they say. Read 14, 15 with me. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. I mean, today you got youth leaders molesting their kids, and you got preachers taking most of the time women into counseling and then having adulterous affairs. Some of them are getting involved with the men, as it was in the days of Lot. And you've got this huge charismatic movement, and every time somebody's gone in with cameras and investigated it, it's exposed to be a big fraud. And yet people follow that garbage by the millions, and everything expose them, and they'll still follow them. Even if they're exposed. It's an amazing thing to behold. People will fall for this satanic false signs and wonders movement for several basic reasons. Number one, they're not saved. I didn't say everybody who follows it's not saved. But I'm saying these are reasons why you'll see people. A lot of those people aren't saved. I've talked to these people at Chase the Faith Healers and all that. Ask them their testimony. They don't have a testimony of salvation. And whatever they say, when they do talk about being saved, it won't be the gospel, it won't be biblical. Also, people are just self-focused. They're godless people, but they just want something. And they think by following that guy and giving him money, they'll get something. Like Simon, the sorcerer we studied. And then some are just undiscerning. They may even be Christians, but they're fools. And they don't have any discernment. And I know stories, and I'm talking about people I know whose loved ones gave all their money to these preachers to get cured of whatever it was that ended up killing them. And they lost their, these people lost their inheritance because their mother or their grandmother, whoever, gave all the money to the TV preachers and the faith healers. Just sick, isn't it?
Yeah.
But some are reprobate. They're perverts. That's what a lot of these guys follow in this stuff. They're reprobates, perverts. been a number of these faith healers themselves to be exposed for being sodomites. It's all flesh. It makes sense. When you realize it's all just a bunch of flesh, then sensuality and sex goes with it. That is why we read this in the next phrase, in back in our text, in verse 10. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. The unsaved, or them that perish, are the crowd falling for the Antichrist signs and wonders movement. So there's a bunch of churches with all this stuff going on, and after the rapture, most of the people that are in those churches are still going to be there. And then when the Antichrist rises up, and the false prophet with all this stuff, see, here's the difference. We as believers, we believe in miracles. Amen?
Amen.
I sat next to a miracle yesterday. My sister-in-law should not be walking around, shouldn't be alive. And she came to visit us with her husband and daughter. And I shared my testimony of the miracle God did on my eyes. And I've had several that I believe instances of miracles. But here's the thing. Miracles follow those who believe.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Believers don't follow miracles. That's the difference between a believer and someone who's got something wrong with their profession. Miracles follow those of us who believe, but a true believer doesn't run around following the miracles. And you got these people running around chasing these faith healers and chasing after the miracles and stuff. There's something wrong with them. Not every charismatic or Pentecostal is lost. I just got to say that. But you will see how many are when their churches remain relatively full after the rapture. That's just a prediction. So we close there in verse 10. Because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. John made an astute point that we're going to come back to next in our next study. Modern Christianity is filled with unbelieving professors. You want to know why those professing Christians you think are so nice and sweet, but they're always supporting bad stuff, supporting abortion a lot of times, supporting Sodom, supporting gun control, supporting all the left-wing woke stuff? There's your reason why, and you better really face up to it and start confronting them and praying for them before it's too late. That's, we love them enough to tell the truth. Amen?
Amen.
These are left behind at the rapture, these people we're talking about. And will constitute the Laodicean false church of the tribulation. That's on Revelation 3. And that's where we'll pick up, Lord willing, and the church don't rise next time. Amen?
Amen.
Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time in this book, your Holy Spirit teaching us. These people showed up here because they love your word and want to learn. And pray the Holy Spirit rules and reigns in every one of our hearts. And that we will submit to the truth, no matter what it is. And allow you to mold our minds and mold our hearts and change us to be what you want us to be with whatever time is left before you return, to the glory and praise of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.